Hi, welcome to Sleep Well's podcast. I am your host, Shannon Glenn. This is episode number 17. Today I talk with one of my previous clients I had the pleasure of working with, Haley Nelson, and we talk about her experience with sleep deprivation and what it took for her to get her little one to sleep and her perspective on the importance of sleep in a family. I hope you enjoy. Go. Hi, Haley. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I love when I get to talk to my previous clients after we've worked together. I love being able to keep in touch with them. So I was so appreciative when you said you would be willing to come on and talk and share a little bit about your experience with sleep and your baby.
Of course, and you worked so well with us where I am glad to help in any way I can for other families and to continue contact with you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I really, really appreciate that a lot. Before we dive into talking about your baby and sleep and what that all looked like, tell us a little about yourself.
I am from Montana, born and raised, and my husband and I have an almost one-year-old. And so I am busy doing that most days. I work 2 days a week as a counselor, counseling kids, and then home the other 3 days with my little guy. And so we have two dogs and just enjoy being outdoors and doing a lot of fun, as many fun things as we can. I used to be a big traveler in the past, so that's kind of slowed down a little bit. But as our little boy gets older, I think we'll start traveling more, which I look forward to.
Awesome. That's exciting. And I always feel like the first birthday is as much of a happy birthday to the baby, maybe even more to the parents, really. Happy 1 year for you, because it's a big accomplishment to get 1 year into raising a child and adjusting to parenthood. There's a lot that happens in that first year.
I agree. And on the birthday cards, I wrote, "We survived the first year as parents." So it is a celebration for us because it has been a very long first year with lots of good times, but some very challenging times.
Right, for sure. Well, and you know, one thing that I believed as a mother myself, once I started the parenting journey and see with all of my clients, is like, first of all, there's no books, there's no class. Well, I mean, there's no like courses in depth that you can take like you all do for other things in your life. And there's just, it's so much to learn becoming a parent that first year is so many firsts, right? Just it's as much of a learning curve for you as it is for the baby.
Right. And I had so much experience with babies before even becoming a mom. I babysat all throughout high school, nannied all throughout college. And then I'm a counselor and I work with kids. So I thought I had everything fully prepared. I was going to know exactly what to do in every situation, and having a baby rocked my world. Just because then it was firsthand, and there are so many different elements that go into having your own baby.
Oh, you are speaking my language, because I come from the same kind of experience. I had a ton of experience with babies too. I also nannied. I'd been around kids, and I also worked with kids before I had our own. And so I also felt like I had it nailed. I was like, I've got this. If anybody's more ready for this, it's me. But what shocked me, which I think you'd probably say the same, was the sleep. Like, I did not realize how big of a deal that could be. Like, I didn't realize babies, first of all, the babies could not sleep. And I also like that you had to teach them how. That was totally a new concept for me with our daughter. And I also didn't realize how much it would rock my world to not get any sleep.
I agree. And I think that's what I had the biggest challenge with, was you hear the quote, sleep like a baby, but
right.
Then you have this baby who doesn't sleep. And then I think you always hear, it's always the first few months where baby doesn't sleep, and then the baby starts sleeping, Well, a few months went by and he was becoming an even worse sleeper than when he was a newborn. So I think I expected it the first 2 to 3 months of just being like, we're going to get through this. It's going to get better. And then it just didn't get better. And that's, I think, what really turned for me, where I was like, okay, he's supposed to be sleeping like a baby. That's what they say. He's not sleeping like a baby. And then it's just getting worse and not better.
Right. Yeah, it definitely it makes life and parenting much more challenging.
Yes.
What did you think about did you read any books about sleep with babies before you had one? What did you think about how babies slept before you had one?
So I read the book 12 Hours by 12 Weeks,
Yep.
and then a couple of other baby or books where it was healthy sleep habits, happy babies, and then the Ferber method. I forget what the book is called for that. And so I had read 2 or 3 books and then listened on my commute to work. And so I had this perception that I'm going to follow the 12 weeks, sleeping 12 hours by 12 weeks. I'm going to follow that exact plan. He's going to be sleeping through the night at 12 weeks. I've heard great things about the book. And then when I had him, it was the complete opposite. I was lucky if I got a 1 hour stretch. And then I just felt like we were doing everything right. And then it wasn't happening. It wasn't getting better. So then I fell into all of the bad habits that I think it was any way that Lincoln, my baby, and I could get sleep. And so I had this envision that it was going to be bad the first 6 weeks to 3 months, but then we were just going to hit this turning point and I was going to see this huge progress. And that just did not happen.
And so it became, after the newborn part. So you expected for things to be difficult during the first weeks, few weeks of life for Lincoln.
I did, because they tell you feed every 3 hours. So in my mind, I
Right.
knew, okay, we were going to be up every 2 to 3 hours. That was to be expected. And so I had in my mind, this is going to be okay. We're going to be up. It's going to get better, though. This is only temporary, not permanent. And so I expected that first, I'd say 6 weeks to 3 months of doing that. And that's kind of what I envisioned. And I think that's why I did really well at the beginning, was because I knew we just weren't going to get very much sleep and it was an expectation. And I had kind of built it up not to get frustrated at the beginning, but then it didn't get any better. And so that's where I think I started to build so much resentment and just I was exhausted all the time.
Right. What do you remember having a day or a moment where it was like, okay, this is a problem. Like, we can't keep doing this.
I remember at the 6 week mark, my husband was gone for 5 days and my mom came and stayed with me. And there was something at 6 weeks, and I know there's a regression period at that time too, or a developmental change. And so I remember just being like, okay, we're at 6 weeks. This week is the worst week I've ever had my entire life. We're getting up every hour to 2 hours. He's fussy and he is miserable. I'm miserable. I can't do this anymore. And but then I knew that this was a leap or a regression. And so part of me was like, this is an expectation. I just need to work through it. And then I'd say it was every 2 to 3 weeks after that, I would just have a breakdown. It'd be a Saturday morning. He would have taken a terrible 15 to 20 minute nap. And there were a couple of days where I just cried and knew like this is not working and it's only getting worse and not better. But then there was this part of me where I was like, there's just going to be this turning moment. Like it's going to all change all at once. I just have to figure out what it is. Do we need a different sleep sack? Do we need a different swaddle? Do we need to put him in a different room? And so it was all of these factors I was trying to change, but nothing was
Right.
working.
Yeah, and that all taking a toll on you, and how you're doing, and how you're working through this, and like the lack of sleep is real. I just did a I had the pleasure of doing an overnight with a family here locally, and typically when I do overnights, I do try to I sleep a little, but I try to stay up a decent amount of it just to keep an eye on the baby because I'm in charge of keeping an eye on the baby. And I, you know, that was one night for me, and it has taken me probably 4 or 5 nights to get back on track. Now, granted, I slept very little, but still, it was just one night. And I mean, it reminded me of what it feels like to have that sleep deprivation. It is so huge. How were you feeling after all of the sleepless nights for you?
Oh, I was just feeling, and there's still days where I feel like, am I ever going to catch up on sleep? Am I ever not going to feel tired? And I felt just so emotional, so burnt out, so exhausted, and almost as a failure as a mom, because I was trying to get my baby to get this consolidated sleep and it wasn't working. And so then I feel like there were just so many elements where physically, emotionally, and mentally I was drained, but as a person, I just felt like this failure to myself and as a mom. And then I felt overwhelmed because I was like, I am not giving it all at my work. I don't have the energy to give my clients what they need. As a wife, I'm exhausted and complaining to my husband all of the time. And as a mom, I'm not able to provide my baby with this consolidated sleep that he needs. And so I felt like every element of me was just failing.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, that mother's guilt is real. And I mean, judgment, I think, like, we're our own worst critics, you know, and the way that your mind can just build all of that up on top, that's just, you know, for anybody. But then you add that component of no sleep. And I mean, it is real. I mean, the way that things start to change for you and the way that you think about things, just your ability to handle stress, all of that is seriously affected by a lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. So it just skews your thoughts that would already be there, but makes them so much bigger and so much like more unsolvable when you're tired. I mean, it is just remarkable what that can do. And I know that was something that was really, really hard for me too. How did all of that, how was that making you feel about like motherhood in general, your baby, both?
You know, I, as sad as it is, became resentful towards my baby because it was just like, this is so exhausting and I'm giving you everything I possibly can and you're not getting better. And so it was just this resentment I felt towards him. But then it was this mind trick because I have never loved anything more in my entire life. And so I knew during the day I was this wonderful mom. I gave him everything I had, very loving, very affectionate. And so I knew I was this really good mom to him. But then at night, I just became so anxious when I would put him down for bed. I would be anxious all night. And every time he woke up, I would be so resentful and frustrated with him. And then I would become resentful towards myself because it was, he's the baby. I'm the mom. I need to be the one in control. And he doesn't know any better. He is this tiny little human who is trying to navigate the world. And I can't be mad at him, but I am so mad at him. And then it also changed my perspective on having more kids. This was such a challenging experience. And I think I'm still working through a lot of the stress. And I don't want to say trauma because that's such an intense word. But I haven't gotten my mindset to the place where I can do this again. And so it's been a challenge in thinking like, okay, this has been such a hard but great experience because I'm very thankful I have a baby, but working through some of that resentment has been a huge challenge for me.
Well, and Haley, what you just said there is something that I think any mom who has a baby who doesn't sleep well can relate to. And thank you for being honest on it, because I really think that there is a perception out there that this is all supposed to just be through, you know, rose-colored glasses and everything is awesome, or you're supposed to just be a martyr and just like, I don't sleep and this is just what it is and it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I think that like there's these two camps. I love everything and everything's fantastic, or it's difficult, but I'm just going to martyr through it all, you know? And I think both of those are so not realistic and also unhealthy. And I mean, I think that the reality of feeling that resentment is so real. I remember feeling the same way. I know I can't tell you how many moms I work with that also, and dads that also feel that way too, but are like afraid to acknowledge it. Like, you know, not only do they not even want to say it out loud, like they don't even want to tell themselves, you know, like you can't feel like this, you know? Right. So to like recognize those feelings and know that, but that's what's going on, I think is so, so valuable. My children are almost 4 years apart. And it is because of sleep 100%. I can't tell you how many times I told my husband, I hope you're good with one kid because I think we're done. Right. And it took, you know, honestly, it took me a really long time to think like, okay, I think I'm ready to do this again. And like I said, our children are 4 years apart because of it. And even once we decided to have another child and then I was lucky enough to get pregnant with our second, I was very, very nervous about this. And when we were, I mean, with our second, like I was starting to do this as a profession. So I even had more knowledge, you know, going into this. And I was still really scared about what could happen with sleep again.
And I think that's so challenging because you're like, you don't know what your next baby is going to be like. And I think that's a struggle for me where I'm like, people say, oh, the second one will be easier. But that's not always true. And I don't want to go off of that because it's just, you don't know what kind of baby you're going to get.
Yeah, you really don't. You know, I've worked with families with multiple children. And like, so I've worked with their older and then I've worked with the subsequent kids coming in. And some of them sleep just like the older, some of them sleep totally different. You don't really know what you're going to get. And then there's also the component of you and how you kind of just mentally and physically heal from the process of, you know, being pregnant and delivering a baby that's an unknown too. The one thing I think I would say around having a second, if I was to use the word easy, it was more on like me having to tell myself for sure, but like, I know more. I know more about what this looks like. I know more about how to protect myself, honestly, in not getting into the place of like major sleep deprivation. So we didn't know how it was going to go with him or how he would sleep, but we definitely put some parameters in place to protect ourselves. And I think that's what made it easy. We were like, okay, neither of us is going more than a night with like real broken sleep. We're taking turns. You know, I had to sort of accept like whatever that's going to look like for breastfeeding, that's going to look like. I know that we have to make sure we're sleeping. And so I'm going to do the best I can with breastfeeding. However, I also know I can't get that sleep deprived. And so I think all of those things going into the second made it better because we had more information. Honestly, that was probably the biggest difference for sure.
Well, and I think with the second, I will be more apt to like getting help and asking for help. I think with Lincoln being my first one, it was, I've got this. I can do this. It's going to get better. I don't need help. I don't need to ask for help when really I should have been asking for more help the whole time. And just have a plan in place with my husband where it's like you said, do every other night or one half of the night, one parent does it. And then the second half, the other parent does it. Because there were many nights that I just took on the entire night and was up 13 times, 16 times, 10 times, just zero sleep in general.
Yep. Yeah. And you can't sustain that for sure. With Lincoln, when do you think it was like, okay, we got to reach out and get help?
I think it was around 3 to 4 months where it was, okay, when can we do sleep training and what does that look like? And I remember reaching out when he was about 4 months and that's when there was a plan in place. We were going to start like between 4 and 5 months. And I remember just feeling this sense of relief, but then again, even more anxiety because it was, what does sleep training look like? How is he going to respond? And is this going to go well? And that's when I felt this very like high sense of hope and knew there's got to be something that starts to work because we're all at that place. And even he needs to learn sleep and want to sleep. And so I think it was about 4-ish months where we started sleep training and knew something needed to change.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you, as I have, told you a few times, it definitely wasn't an easy journey for you guys to get to a good place with sleep. And quite honestly, longer and more challenging than a lot of my clients see. And I commend you for hanging in there, because a lot of parents might be like, this is too much, and I don't want to keep going on, doing this. This is hard too, and I don't want to keep going on. And you really did an amazing job of sticking with it and realizing, like, I have to keep going for this. What would you say made you hang on to say, like, we have to continue to work through this, fight through this to get to better sleep?
I think a lot of it was just knowing my little boy needed consolidated sleep. So I was like, I have to figure out how he can get consolidated sleep because he's not getting it right now. And then there was this other part of me where I had created the most unhealthy sleep habits. He was sleeping in a swing. He had to co-sleep with me at one point, or many points, I should say. So I knew I was creating these really unhealthy sleep habits, and I knew that that needed to change because they couldn't last forever. And the swing at, I think he was 6 months, was becoming dangerous. And so then there was this danger hazard that I was aware of. And so I knew as a whole, everything needed to change. And to be completely honest, having a professional help me navigate that was this huge sense of relief. And just having someone on my side for, I think, the 6 months that we did sleep training, I felt
Right.
like I wasn't alone in it. And I just had this huge support where even if I didn't see you face to face, it was I have someone on the phone at any point in time or through a quick email that can just take this stress level from a 10 and just so quickly help eliminate it and plus answer questions because I'm a first-time mom and I thought I had this in the bag. And so just having this support line was huge for me.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it is, it is something that, again, like I said, for it to take 6 months as long as it did is, significantly longer than what we typically see. But I really admired your commitment to, like, what we were doing before wasn't working. We have to do something different. And even as a disclaimer, because I do remember you saying with co-sleeping, because some people out there will say, like, okay, well, if your baby won't sleep alone, or some people will just say your baby should sleep with you, their baby shouldn't sleep alone. You know what I mean? Or they'll say, if your baby won't sleep alone, then, try sleeping with your baby and see if that helps. And the one thing, while it may have helped him a little, not a ton, it didn't help you. And I think that is something that is so important for parents to be aware of is, okay, so if you're co-sleeping because you're choosing to, or because you're just trying to make things better, you still need to be sleeping too. And so co-sleeping can't be a sacrifice like, well, my baby's sleeping a little better, but now I am wide awake all night. Like, that's not a healthy situation either.
I
And
completely agree. And even with co-sleeping, he was still up 6 times, 8 times a night. And
Right.
so it was better than the 13 to 16 times he was up. But then you're right, when I was co-sleeping, I was never in this deep sleep. It was either I was in a very light sleep or I was awake because there was this constant fear of what if something happens.
Right. Yeah. And it wasn't something that you were comfortable with. And what I think, a lot, I think that's also really important for people to acknowledge is, the people out there that are really pro co-sleeping, co-family bed sharing, like, if that works for you and your family, awesome. If everybody's sleeping, great, go for it. But if everybody is not sleeping or it's not making things better, then something else has to happen. And I, you know, and I, I mean, Lincoln definitely gave you guys a run for your money and your parent badges for sure in how things went through the process of sleep. And as caveats in there, we did wonder if there was some Some digestive issues or tummy discomfort, which there may have been, playing a factor into that. And then teething for him was a little bit of a slower process, but uncomfortable, kind of more drawn out than normally we see with babies. So there were some things with Lincoln that I think contributed to the challenge. But I also think that it was sort of just a little bit how he's wired too, and even more of a reason to really try to start that foundation of healthy sleep. I say to people all the time with my daughter, who is now 13, the way her mind is wired, if we did not do what we did when she was about Lincoln's age, she was an older baby, young toddler by the time we actually got the hang of it, she would have sleep issues today. I can guarantee it 100%, because she just it's just kind of how she is. And she's just a little bit more of an intense personality, I guess you would say, and kind of has a hard time settling her mind. And I know that if we hadn't started that foundation at a really, really young age to value sleep, put importance on it, and make sure she was getting it, it would be a big problem today. It's something I see with her friends, you know, and the parents who didn't have to do something with sleep or didn't know that they should. And you can see it in their behavior all the time. It is astounding.
Right. Well, and I think having a foundation for sleep also helps Lincoln know what's to be expected. And it's this routine that he knows exactly what's happening. Now for naps, we have this routine. It's around the same time every day. For nighttime, it's the same routine. It's just this expectation. I do well as an adult on structure that I think it helps him move forward when he has the structure and know what is to be expected too.
Absolutely. It well, and I, of course, I'm always preaching this all day long. So of course I believe in structure and consistency. However, really with little kids, it's how they do best. They really do thrive in that environment, and sleep is just a component of that. And so having a structure around sleep, it just makes sense that that's what they prefer as well.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the long, hard journey of getting to better sleep. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing a lot better. I think I go to bed not anxious anymore, which that was a huge thing for naps and nighttime sleep. I would go to bed or put him down for a nap feeling so anxious as to what does this look like? What is it going to, like, how's it going to go throughout the night? So I think for me as a whole, I can see myself getting healthier and healthier just mentally and physically because I'm getting more sleep. So I have more energy. And then for Lincoln, it is so much better. He now just goes to sleep on his own. We put him in his crib after our little routine. He falls asleep on his own within 5 minutes. But even in that crib for 5 minutes, he's kind of just rolling around, finding his position that he's most comfortable in. There's no crying. There's no just him fighting it or feeling resentful of it. And then for my husband and I, it's just nice where now we have downtime together where it's okay, we put him down and we have this hour or two that we know he's going to sleep for. And that I think has been so amazing in itself because we lost so many pieces of that because we just didn't know what it looked like. And he'd be up after 10 minutes of putting him down. And now when there are wake ups throughout the night, I can now navigate what they are. Oh, that's a pain cry. He's teething or he has gas because we've had a little bit of GI issues. His belly must be hurting. Now I can just navigate why the wake up is happening. And before it was always this constant stressor. And in my mind, it always had to be something or what were we not getting? And so now it's so much less stressful knowing that I know what the wake-ups are more likely from.
Right. Yeah, that predictability definitely can help going through the motions of it, make it a lot, just feel a lot better for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and coming up on his first birthday, a big, big milestone to be going through too. Looking back on the journey, what would be like one thing you would say to another sleep-deprived mom out there?
Use your resources. And ask for help. That was one thing that I didn't do, where it was, they say rest when baby rests. And
Right.
as a new mom, I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves to keep the house clean or continue to just make sure there's food in the fridge. And so I did a really bad job at resting when baby would rest, because we also have two dogs. And so for me, it was, well, I have to attend to the dogs. I need to do the laundry. And so I would say rest when baby does. And then also, it gets better. I can't give a timeline on when it gets better. And I know that's such a hard thing to hear when people say just give it time, because we worked
Right.
really hard for 6 months. And in my thoughts when we started this, I thought it was going to be a 2 week to a month process. And it was
Right.
6 really, really hard months. And so I can say you definitely get through it, and it's really hard, but it's worth it, regardless of how long it takes. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And so I would just say, as be as patient as you can, and also just take care of yourself, because I feel like I lost that piece of taking care of myself. And it's just so important, where we can't be fully healthy unless we take care of ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which then gives us more to be able to give to our kiddos too. Yeah. It's makes a big difference for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you being willing to join me and talk about this. I know there will be moms and dads listening. They completely can relate to what you're feeling. And I also feel like it's just so important to not feel alone, because I feel like this journey with the sleeping part of the parenting journey can be really isolating. Because in the middle of the night, you really do feel like you're the only person on the planet that's awake dealing with your crying baby. And it is so isolating. And so I think just letting other people know, like, you're not alone. Like, there are others of us out there that deal with this and fight through this, can be really uplifting, and encouraging.
And I will have to say that is so true, because when I was up 12 to 16 times a night, I would look outside the window and it's just pitch dark and no lights are on in the houses. And you really do feel this sense of alone. And it was, I don't want to wake up my husband. So then I felt even more alone, because I was like, well, one of us needs sleep. He might as well get sleep and not listen to me feel like, oh my goodness, I can't do this anymore. What is going on? And so you're right. It is, you sit there alone with so many thoughts going on in your head. Or you sit there with this baby who's sleeping in your arms and you're like, well, everybody else is sleeping but me. And it's just this really
Right.
isolated feeling. And so it is hard to get through, but it does get easier with time.
Yeah, right. Well, and then, and obviously, like you guys did, and doing something about it. And I do think that there can be even some peace in knowing, like, I am doing something to try to make this better, that can feel like you have a little bit of a sense of control.
Yes. And knowing there's
Yeah.
just programs out there. I never knew that a sleep trainer even existed until my pediatrician was like, you have such a bad sleeper, you need a professional to help you. And so then I'm learning
Right.
about a sleep trainer expert. And then also my pediatrician is telling me I have this really bad sleeper. And so just using those resources of what they have available. And then I would say even resources such as counseling or other mom groups, we're using that emotional support resource that you can also get on top of having a sleep trainer to help give you guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely helps. I mean, just being able to, I mean, even for myself with my own kids, and this is what I do for a living, there have been times throughout their younger life that I had to like talk to somebody else. Like, I need to step out of my own head here and like get someone else's eyes on this. And so, yeah, having somebody else to be able to look at it and walk you through it. And then, of course, give you a professional program and opinion and guide to follow. Really can make a difference for sure. Yeah. Yes. Well, thanks again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thank you for having me, and thank you for your 6 months of help. We are in a much better place now.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. Okay, Haley, so what I will do is I'll edit just the front and the back end of this, and then I'll put an intro and a exit on it.
Okay.
I'm going to put this up today.
Okay.
I have some time in my schedule, so I'm going to release it today since I had planned on doing it earlier this week. Thanks for being flexible with the time change. That sort of kind of came up out of nowhere. But she's like my mom's closest sister, so I kind of just feel like whenever she needs something that I need to help her. And I just didn't realize this town is growing so fast that there's like construction around every corner or car accidents, and everything just takes so much longer to get to and from than it ever used to.
Oh,
And so I was like, yeah, I can totally go out there, help you move some things around. No problem. And I got out there and I'm like, holy crap, all of this is taking longer. And then it was like traffic everywhere. I'm like, there is absolutely no way I'm going to be able to make this happen. And also, I was my husband was out of town too, so I was like, and I'm also having to get I need to get my kids fed dinner. Like everything that could have gone wrong with timing was going wrong. So, thank you for being flexible. I
Oh, of
appreciate it.
course. And of course, that's how it always happens when you have something planned, then
Yes.
everything else comes up at that time. So I totally understand and I
Yeah.
get it.
Yes, well, thanks. I really appreciate it. And I would, yeah, if you want to do the other topic, I would love it. I think that would be like talking about like motherhood and self-care would be huge for others to hear,
Yes.
honestly. So if you want to, yeah, if you want to do that,
Well,
we can talk about something else in the schedule.
okay, yeah, that works for me. If you want to just text me what you have available and then we'll just
Yeah.
coordinate it that or text or email me whatever's easiest and then we'll
Cool.
just get it on the
Yeah.
schedule.
Awesome. Yeah. With these recordings, like I can obviously record them at any time and then post them at another time. So we can, we wouldn't release it for a few weeks, because I do have some podcast scheduled for the next couple of weeks, but we can record it at any time.
Okay.
So is there a day of the week that's better for you?
What about Monday? Let's see. Monday the 17th. I think that's President's Day. And Tanner is
Yeah,
home
that
that day, if that worked for
okay.
you.
Unfortunately, it doesn't. My daughter gets to go to a really cool science camp up in
Ooh.
McCall, Idaho for the week, and we have decided to, because Monday's a holiday for them, we decided to take them up skiing on Monday. So we'll be up in McCall skiing.
Okay, that's
And
fine.
then I'll be driving back. So yeah, so Monday wouldn't work because I won't be home. Mondays typically do work if that's a better day for you. Or I can
Or
do other days too.
let's see, how about on Friday? Or I can do Wednesday or Friday next week at 10 o'clock if
Okay.
that works. And I just will cross my
Yeah.
fingers that Lincoln sleeps for the 30 minutes. He's
Okay.
been
Yeah.
sleeping during this, which was perfect. So
Awesome. Good.
yeah, I can do. Or even Monday. I can do Monday, Wednesday, or Friday at 10.
Okay. I could do Wednesday or Friday at 10 as well. Which day do you think would be better for you?
Let's do Wednesday, and then that
Okay,
way you can
cool.
get it sooner. And then if you want like the weekend or the week to edit it, you have that
Yeah.
time.
Perfect. Okay, so we'll plan for the 12th at 10.
Okay.
Can you send me a picture of you? That I
Yes.
can add into the notes. Typically what I've been doing on the website is like posting like kind of a picture of sort of with a like of the theme, but then I'm trying to add you into the notes. So
I sent
if you
one to,
Oh, you did.
yeah, it
Oh, did you
was,
send it to Cassie?
I did, but I can resend you. Is it
Okay,
okay
cool.
if it's Tanner, Lincoln, and I?
Oh, it's perfect. Yes,
Okay.
that'd be even better.
I didn't know if you wanted it
Yeah,
to just be
so
me or if it could be the three of us. So I sent her one.
did you send? No. Nope. She'll get it to me. If you sent it to her, I actually have an email drafted for her right now. I need to talk to her after this call anyway. So I'll just get her to send it to me.
Okay, perfect. And if for some reason she
Awesome.
doesn't have it anymore, just let me know and I'll get one to you.
I will.
And then I'll just
Cool.
plan for Wednesday, at 10 o'clock.
Yes. Perfect. Yay. Well, thank you so much for this today.
You're
I hope
welcome.
you have a great weekend.
Thank you, you guys as well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. All right, take care.
Okay, bye,
Bye-bye.
Shannon.
thanks so much for listening today. I think there were so many things that Haley said that a lot of us tired parents with babies that aren't sleeping can relate to. I definitely know a lot of the things she said were feelings I had when our daughter was not sleeping. And I imagine that might be something you felt today too, if you're listening to this and you have a little one who doesn't sleep well. So hopefully you realize you're not alone. There are others out there like you that are fighting to get to better sleep for their family, and that there is help there. It doesn't have to stay like that. You can reach out for help. So I hope you enjoyed the listen. We'll be here again next week with another new episode. Until then, I hope you sleep well.